Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to today's program. The theme today is going to be the emergence of Maitreya, and it will include a fair amount of background information for those of you who aren't familiar with who Maitreya is. But we're going to start with an article from Benjamin Krem's master with that same name, The Emergence of Maitreya. For several years, many people have awaited with varying degrees of patience the emergence of Maitreya into the arena of the world to present himself to the people as the world teacher for Aquarius. Many have found it a tiresome wait indeed, while others have cheerfully worked to acquaint the world of his presence and plans, knowing that eventually their efforts would succeed. The day has dawned when all will see him. Knowingly or not, all have called him, and he has kept his promise to return. For years he too has awaited the invitation from men to emerge and speak for all. Now that at last this has been given, he has taken steps to ensure his recognition and acceptance. Not for nothing has he prepared many groups to acknowledge him. Highly placed and influential, there are those in varied walks of life who know him to be here, know his plans and priorities, have listened to his words and believe them to be true. From diverse backgrounds and many countries do these prepared ones come, alike in their desire to serve Maitreya in the world. With their detailed knowledge of his plans, they will speak for him, awakening their colleagues and citizens to the task ahead. In this fashion will he work through them, pointing the way to a better future. Shortly, his face will be seen by thousands around the world. Television has made it possible for the avatar to enter the homes of countless people and with simple words to penetrate their hearts. Soon will follow other such appearances until the whole world listens and responds. In this manner, the world will come to know that the Christ, Maitreya, is in our midst, ready to teach and lead, to serve and guide, to show the way back from the abyss and to inspire the creation of a new era for men. That not all men at first will recognize him perhaps needs to be said. Not all know the true background to his life and advent. But more and more they will see the wisdom of his words, feel the blessing of his presence, and know from within their hearts the truth that he utters. From within their hearts too will they respond, acknowledging him as the teacher for the age. From them will he evoke the desire to share, to recreate a balanced and harmonious world. When men realize the urgency of the task, they will unleash upon the iniquities of the present a force for good unlike aught seen before. The transformation of the world will proceed apace, and men will work together as brothers for the good of all. Thus will it be. Thus will the new age be built by man himself under the guidance of Maitreya and his group. The separation of the past will give place to cooperation and sharing, the selfishness and greed to a new sense of justice. From within man himself will come the urge for betterment, a testimony to the divinity inherent in us all. That divinity will Maitreya show to be the nature of man, and he the agent of its manifestation. Already the signs of his work are apparent to all. The old dogmas die. New brooms are sweeping away the debris of the past. The old men linger, but a new force of truth beats on their embattled and crumbling walls. Not for long will they withstand this new force for righteousness and justice. So now moving on to an excerpt from one of the earlier books by Benjamin Krem with the title Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1. And in the introduction is, I thought, quite a good description of Maitreya and his emergence. So I'll read out that part of the chapter. And it begins as follows. Actually, no, sorry, I've had a slight change of heart. I won't start right at the beginning of the chapter. I will go more to what's relevant in regards to Maitreya. In every new age, humanity is the recipient of new teachings, which allow us to respond appropriately to the energies of the time. Cyclic law calls forth a teacher who comes into the world at the beginning or end of every age. Historically, we know them, among others, as Hercules, Hermes, Rama, Mithra, Vyasa, Confucius, Zoroaster, Krishna, Shankaracharya, Buddha, Christ, and Muhammad. And this new age of Aquarius now dawning will be no exception to this cyclic law. This age will have its teacher. He is already in the world, ready to reveal himself openly. These teachers come from the same spiritual center of the planet, the spiritual or esoteric hierarchy of the world. The senior members of the spiritual hierarchy are men or women like us, who have made the evolutionary journey ahead of us, who have perfected themselves, and whose energies and ideas have been the stimulus behind our evolution. They are known to their disciples as the masters of wisdom and the lords of compassion. They have, for the most part, lived in the mountain and desert areas of the world for countless thousands of years. From their mountain and desert retreats, they have beneficently overseen the evolution of humanity for millennia. Our evolution from early animal man up to the point where we now find ourselves today has proceeded through an expansion of consciousness. This increase of awareness has been accomplished through the guidance and stimulus of the Masters of Wisdom. Much of the work of the Masters is carried out by their disciples, men and women in the world. For example, people like Albert Einstein, Madame Curie, Abraham Lincoln, Mozart and Michelangelo. The Lord Maitreya, who embodies the Christ principle, or the energy of love, is the master of all the masters, the head and leader of that group of enlightened men. All religions await the coming of a teacher. Christians, the return of the Christ. Muslims, the Imam Mahdi or Messiah, depending on their sect. Hindus await the return of Krishna, and Jews the Messiah. Buddhists likewise await Maitreya Buddha. These are all different names for one and the same individual, the world teacher. For 2,500 years, the Lord Maitreya has held the post of world teacher in the spiritual hierarchy. 2,600 years ago, Gautama Buddha made a prophecy that at this time, the end of Kali Yuga, would come another great teacher, a Buddha like himself named Maitreya Buddha. Maitreya, he said, would lead humanity into the creation of a new golden civilization based on righteousness and truth. 2,000 years ago, Maitreya manifested himself through his disciple Jesus in Palestine by the process of overshadowing, and the Christian era began. He returns now as world teacher for all groups, religious and non-religious alike. Maitreya is, as both Gautama Buddha and Saint Paul declared, the teacher alike of angels and of men. He has lived in the Himalayas for thousands of years, awaiting the cosmic date, the time for his return to the world. The masters have known for over 500 years, sorry, I've progged my throat, that sooner or later they would have to return openly to the everyday world. The only question was when humanity would be ready for the entry of these advanced and, from our point of view, perfected men. The signal for this return was given in June 1945 at the end of the war by Maitreya himself. He announced to the assembled masters that he had decided to return to the everyday world at the earliest possible moment, as soon as humanity began to put its house in order, and would bring a large group of his disciples, the masters, into the world with him. He said he would come when a measure of peace had been restored to the world, when the principle of sharing was at least beginning to govern economic affairs, and when the principle of goodwill was active, leading to right human relations. He hoped to come around 1950. It was hoped that the pain and suffering of the war would have chastened humanity and led to a change of direction. But not all the nations had suffered. And soon the powers returned to the old competitive nationalistic ways of the past. Maitreya's coming was delayed, therefore, until July 1977, when he said he would wait no longer. And so, on the 8th of July 1977, he descended from his retreat 6,000 metres high in the Himalayas. He spent several days on the plains of Pakistan acclimatising himself. And on the 19th of July, he entered London, England, where he still lives as an apparently ordinary member of the Asian community. There, he awaits an invitation from humanity to come forward as the world teacher. So again, that was an excerpt from the book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1 by Benjamin Cream. And there's, of course, a lot more information about Maitreya's emergence and so on in that, and several other books by Mr. Cram. So now I'm going to read a few questions and answers, which I think give a little bit more insight into Maitreya. And these come from various books, including Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1. First question is, where did Maitreya come from? What is his origin? Is he from Venus or a different solar system or from Sirius? No, Maitreya comes out of our own Earth humanity and is the first of that humanity to achieve, that is, become initiate. What has Maitreya told you about his physical immortality? I mean, he seems to have lived in the Himalayas for a very long time. Maitreya has lived in his retreat high in the Himalayas, about 17,500 feet, for the last 2,000 years in a body of light. That is, the resurrected and ascended body of a perfected master of high degree. That body is now at rest, as he has termed it, a state of suspended animation. The body in which he now lives and works in London is self-created especially for this mission. Does the Lord Maitreya have a family? No, the whole human kingdom are his brothers and sisters. He is the eldest brother of humanity. Did Maitreya choose his own name? It was given to him by his master long, long ago in mid-Atlantean times when he took the second initiation. It means the happy one, the one who brings joy or gladness. And this is a brief commentary from Benjamin Krem about Maitreya's self-created body. Maitreya could have used the body of a disciple, which is the usual method for the appearance of the world teacher, as he did through Jesus. But his purpose this time is different. He is here as head of our planetary hierarchy and as leader of his group, who are also emerging, and so comes himself. Also, he will remain with humanity for 2,500 years, and this requires a very special vehicle, one equal to the strain of living at our level, in a body still sensitive to his cosmic spiritual consciousness, to do his work as the Christ and to convince us that he is who he is. And the name of that self-created body is a Maya Virupa. Why did Maitreya choose to emerge in London? It is a question of the work of the disciples in preparing the way for him. He would come into that arena in which the disciples, along the line of his work, which is mainly in the economic and political fields, have been most successful. That is his major reason for coming to London. Of course, the more obvious reason is that, coming from the Himalayas as he does, and descending as he did into Pakistan, he can come as a visitor into this country for a few years and lose himself in the Pakistani-Indian community. Is the Christ necessarily confining himself to personal contacts within the Asian community only, since London contains so many other opportunities for contact, perhaps influence, both individually and socially? So far, yes, he is at pains to emerge as a spokesman of the Asian community, identified with them and their problems, which are symptomatic of underprivileged humanity everywhere. He is therefore reluctant to spread the area of his activity beyond the group of which he is now a part. In this way, he can emerge as a man among men, one of the people emerging from their midst. If Maitreya is living in Brick Lane, London, there must be lots of people trying to find him there. Does he actively avoid being found? He's not living in Brick Lane. He did between 1977, when he first came to London, and January 1986. He has been in many other areas. Now he is in the northeast of London. He lives in a temple, but he does not eat or sleep. He does not even have a bed, so he can live anywhere. He works with the swamis of the various temples, trains and teaches them, then sends them around the world to spread his teaching. He is neither Hindu, nor Muslim, nor Christian. He sees no difference between any of the religions. And that seems to be all we have time for. As usual, there's so much more that could say on the subject, but I would encourage you instead to check out the website, share-international.org. And if you're really interested, then there's always the magazine, Share International Magazine, as well as, of course, as Benjamin Krem's books. If you've got any queries, you're welcome to email us, by the way, sharenz@yahoo.com. And wishing you all a lovely week.